My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John. 929 FM ESPN. This show emanates from the beautiful Leaders Credit Union Studios. And I am joined by my partner, John Martin, and our executive producer extraordinaire and boss, program director, Brad Carson. We are here and accounted for on this Wednesday hump day. And I tell you what, round of applause. Get it ready. Blake Watts. I had the eye. I had the eye. When I first saw him in a Memphis uniform last year, I came up in here and I told John, I said, that's the guy going to play on Sundays. And we're here. Now, Blake Watson makes the Denver Broncos roster and probably is the fourth running back. And playing time may be, you know, may be sparse this season. But come on, baby. He's picked up where we left off in the long line of Memphis running backs to have made the NFL. We are so happy for Blake Watson, especially on this week where we're opening up Memphis football. My goodness. Certainly going to have some Memphis football flavor around here today. John Martin's ready for the opener. I don't know if North Alabama's ready for what we got for him. Can you feel it?
Yeah, congrats to Blake.
Yeah. Nice.
They had a big plan for him. I mean, they gave him a very, very big guarantee. So you had the feeling that they were definitely going to
still picked him over Beatty, Batty.
Yeah, yeah. But
he's only averaged 3.2 a carry.
But good for Blake. Season. Good for Blake for sure. Nice news to start. You know, he's only here for a year, but you can just tell how much he touched hearts in Memphis with the way that Jason still thinks about him. He was one of the good ones, maybe top 25 Daily Memphian. We missed another.
We'd had a drought.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, since Darrell Henderson and Patrick Taylor.
I didn't realize this until John brought it up. He did get $275,000 guaranteed, mm-hmm. $275,000.
Yeah.
Boom, $25,000 signing. Boom.
Yep. Yeah, one of the top undrafted free agents.
I mean, that is a nice, nice move.
Like, no matter what happens, like, you made $250,000, $275,000. Like,
oof.
Pretty good place
to
be.
That's five of these UFL seasons.
That's at least. Yes. So, good stuff for Blake Watson.
Yeah, congrats.
I don't know. I assume he'll probably spend most of his time on the practice squad. That would be my guess. You know, because four running backs now?
Yeah, they're carrying four.
Yeah. I mean, I guess.
They're going to put Beatty on the practice squad.
Yeah,
dude's on.
Yeah, so he's going to be on. I mean, that seems like a lot, but I guess you have to have, you know, four in this day and age, especially with a rookie quarterback. So, anyway, good stuff from him. Big show today. Big show. We will have Brett McMurphy at 11:25. And the crowd goes wild. Action Network, we'll talk all things college football with him. Obviously, this is week one, so we're getting to it. Nothing to it but to do it. So we'll get his thoughts on some of the matchups, get his thoughts on Memphis, Group of Five, all those things at 11:25. 12:40, we're going to be joined by the one, the only, Reverend Isaac Bruce. NFL Hall of Famer. Give it up. And he is going to talk to us about the most anticipated season in the history of Memphis football. So we're looking forward to catching up. We usually catch up once a year or so with Ike. Because a lot of times he'll come in for a game or something like that, you know. But Ike has graciously agreed to come on the show, so we look forward to catching up with him at about 12:40 or so. Anything else that we need to ask Ike about besides Memphis? Is there something going on with Ike, or
they've got the M Club reunion next week.
Okay.
He and the 1993 Memphis football team are being honored. There's a golf tournament next week, obviously. A reunion over at the Penny Hardaway Hall of Fame. It's an all-sports reunion, so
love it.
All those guys. Nyrone Hawkins will
Nyrone's
actually join along with Isaac Bruce during that time.
Excellent.
He'll be with us in studio. He's a former M Club board of directors, president, now a pastor. So we got the Rev.
I love it.
And we got Pastor Nyrone now.
That's right.
And so it'll be real spiritual about 12:40.
Gotcha. So I will obviously be leaving the studio.
I don't think you want to do that. It's still a Hall of Famer.
You might
have a few questions for a Hall of Famer.
You need to get some Jesus and some of the Lord's word.
I didn't agree to this intervention. You are doing an intervention on me, and you didn't tell me.
Recently installed Pastor Nyrone Hawkins is.
Love it.
Yeah.
Should be a good time.
Sure.
Should be a good time at 12:40. And then at 1:25, Norton Hurd IV is going to join us.
Hopefully in studio today. I was with him last week at Shoot 360 when my kid got hurt.
Oh, CJ suffered an injury.
You know, Brad knows the story,
but
you weren't here for it. He's recovering, midfoot sprain. We thought it was broken. It was
got it.
Hot mess. Sarwar had to try to pick him up. I said, "Get out of my way. I got this." You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Sarwar, very kind, though. And that man does it all.
Yeah.
Tony Sarwar?
Former Ivor Alderman.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Business owner.
Business owner, exactly, like restaurant, right?
Everywhere, yes.
And then trainer with Team Thad, and the dude has the time to, you know, work out, look like Hulk Hogan.
Yes.
So, they were incredibly gracious after little C's went down. But we'll get Hurd in here, and we'll get him the status update. He was asking, could Chris get back out there this week? Can't do it. We're off it this week.
Well, it'll be
smart.
It'll be a fun show. I mean, this is a four-guest show. That's a rarity for us in this day and age. So should be a fun day. A few things that we need to touch on, though, and we're going to do so with what we call over-under.
It's Jason and John's over-under. Over. Under.
Well, we're going to start off. Obviously, we have a lot of football to get to today. We are going to go to some Memphis basketball, though. And we'll start off with Rick Stansberry. The number of seasons left for Slick Rick on the University of Memphis basketball staff. Our linesmiths have set the line at half a season.
Over. Under.
Yeah, so the reason why this is coming up is Hitman Hoops posted yesterday on social media a link to his Discord that he has. And in this Discord, he reported that there is a... This, I'm just going to read what he said. Source says there is a divide between Penny and Stansberry currently, and both sides are working through it.
Drama in the Memphis program?
Source at practice yesterday mentioned that Stansberry was absent. Something to monitor over the next few days. So, you know, obviously, every Final Four run starts with the head coach and the lead assistant not being on speaking terms. That is what they say.
Right.
Now, a lot of people won't remember this, but Jason has a very unique perspective on this because he once saw coaches not talking at practice. Now, they were there, at least. Stansberry was not there, which I think is maybe the difference here. But... I mean, again, the details of what the divide exactly is are unclear. We don't know. But, I mean, it doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel like, oh, this is an amazing development for chemistry. This is what we're trying to build. We're trying to build, like, everybody on the same accord after last year. And Now Penny and Stansberry have some sort of rift and disagreement. I mean, you know, could be over a million different things, but it's not the start that you're hoping for.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not the kind of stuff you like to hear. I don't doubt Hidman Hoop's report. He's been pretty on. That goes without saying. And so I think there's obviously, you're going to believe there's some credibility, a great deal of it, with this report. And clearly, I would say it this way. What's Penny's history with assistants? How many of them have stayed, you know, for the long haul, more than 2 years, more than 3 years? So the likelihood already, I would imagine, especially when you're talking about a former head coach like Rick Stansberry, there's going to be a desire to move on anyway. Like the idea that the two of them are going to, walk down the road 10 years from now still together is far-fetched. Rick's always going to, have looked to want to look to be a head coach again. So this was always probably going to be pretty short-lived. You know, you'd wondered if Penny was going to be able to bring him back this year.
Absolutely right.
And now you tell me, or at least it's reported, purported, however you want to put it, that there's some tension. I could completely see. And then where is Noah? Isn't Noah close to graduation or finishing up?
Yeah,
the other part about this. Remember, Rick's got family here, and you got Noah on the team, probably close to graduation. You get it done, and you probably move on. Like, I wouldn't be surprised. But I'm with you. That's probably the way to best bottom line. It's not something that you,
right,
you know, that is encouraging,
yes,
in terms of the news coming out of there.
But, I mean, I think, like,
but don't coaches get sideways and miss 100%. Practices probably 100 times, both preseason and during season.
I mean, look.
And so, but again, I don't want to downplay reporting here,
yeah, no,
right? That's what I'm saying. But that's the thing. How many practices are you going to miss? That's why you said,
exactly. Let's continue to monitor, no doubt. We're in monitor mode right now. But I will say this. When you are working side by side with somebody every single day, I mean, I've walked out on you. We've walked out on each other doing this show, and we've been fine the next day or 2 days from then, right? Like, when you have competitive people in a setting who work together every single day,
1,000%.
You're going to have disagreements. You're going to have things that you get upset with each other over. It's part of the thing.
This year three for him.
I think it's year two, right? Yeah, it's two.
Last year was first year.
Yeah. But look, we don't have to.
So I'm saying, I mean, how long do you have? Mike, how long did you have?
Mike was two.
Okay, my former Tulsa head coach? How long did you have Haith? 1 year. How long did you have Larry? 1 year.
Larry ended up being kind of two.
Was Larry two? Okay, but again,
he was like a different role,
mm-hmm,
right? Like, and then he was like one and a half.
It's sort of been the MO.
Yeah, I mean, like the lack of continuity, I mean, which is not great. Jermaine has been here forever.
And again, this one is a former head coach, so he's different than the
correct.
Bormans or whatever else,
yes,
because obviously there are designs to be a head coach again. You're not looking to be an assistant.
It was a big gift for Memphis when Stansberry took the job, and I don't think, with profiles like him, you don't really expect to have him for much longer than 2 years, right?
Exactly.
I mean, like,
so you add that.
Yeah.
With this, and you wouldn't be shocked if he's gone.
So, I mean, look, is it one of those deals where, like, I'm a little tired of just, like, the feeling, the never-ending drama around Memphis? I think everybody is. I think everybody's kind of tired of it. But in terms of, this story in and of itself, unless Rick says I'm leaving, I'm not coaching this year, I just think it's one of those things that's probably unfortunate that it got out, right?
That says Penny's working on it, right? I mean, he didn't say they're at odds and there's some sort of stalemate.
There's a dispute, I think was the word, or a divide. Yeah. Divide, a divide is what it was, a divide. I mean, there was a divide on this show when you tried to tell me that NBA wanted Warriors over the Grizzlies for ratings. Mm. There's actually a divide on this show right now with this contraption that's been here since COVID.
Yeah.
And we work through that divide every single day.
Penny and Stansberry will, you're saying?
I think they will. I think they understand that they're better together. And look.
I'm pulling Noah out. What are you going to have Noah on the team and you're gone? Come on. They're going to work this out and it's going to get done for another year. And
right,
we'll move on after that.
look, I mean, let's not act like everything ain't up for damn grabs after this season anyway. Like, who the hell knows what this season, what is all going to look like after this year?
Most seem to think it's going to be a tournament appearance. So we're going to be doing this again in some form next year. Most of your experts think that.
That is what the experts say.
Certainly ain't doing anything if Penny Hardaway makes the tournament again.
You're right. Agreed.
Right, by going on with it.
But I just think, you know, in terms of this story itself, I'm not going to overreact to it. I think adults can disagree and get pissed off at each other all the time. Now, with the context of Memphis, it is a little unfortunate because this has, like, been a thing. You know, players don't get along. Now, are you telling me, like, the coaches don't get along? Like, it's not ideal. But I'm not going to freak out about it unless something drastic happens. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, unless Stansberry resigns from, then I'm like, whoa! Now, are you still waiting on Nolan for that contract thing to dry, or have you just moved on?
Again, have we had formal announcements on who's doing what? It's more than just him, isn't it?
You just continue to monitor is what I would tell you.
What about your boy Mike?
Mike?
Davis.
Oh, yeah.
Remember him?
Yeah, Mike Davis is definitely around. Again, we're still trying
Andre. There's a lot to keep up with.
You know,
Faraji's still there, but not an assistant.
He's been reassigned.
Like, it's hard to get. It's a lot of, you know, the numbers are big over there.
Yeah.
Hard to keep up sometimes. Yeah, I think we're still waiting.
Rolling deep.
Remember, I think Hitman Hoops was the guy that talked about that salary pool. They're still trying to get that worked out between all. Maybe Rick said, hey, I want a little more.
Well, I think that might be a part of it.
You know?
That so maybe we can't get.
What about what I've done?
We can't get Nolan done.
You trying to pay Nolan?
Because I want that money.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Penny, many years ago, many, many years ago, like in 2021, he had this idea privately that he was just going to have two assistants. He floated it. He was talking about it. Like, I think they had.
I don't mind that from a salary standpoint.
Yeah.
Like, and especially if. We're not talking about recruiting ties anymore.
Yeah, this was many, many years ago. He was talking about.
You said 21.
Yeah,
it was 3 years ago.
Yeah, so, you know, during the COVID thing, come out of that, he was like, you know, why don't I just roll with two assistants?
I think that's a crazy idea.
I think Penny should just have no assistants.
Man, stop.
I think he should just, you know.
No. I mean, especially if one is useful in NIL as Stansberry. That's you know.
No, he's been great.
But I suppose you could get that in your GM position or your ops position or whatever, a guy like that.
We're continuing to wait on that as well. You know, you just need to continue to monitor.
I can't believe you said it, though. He was preaching about chemistry last year with the players and now potentially have a chemistry issue with the coaches.
I mean, it's not a good look. That I'll say. It's not a good look. But, because you and I have had disagreements that have even happened on air.
Yeah, but, I mean, I didn't see Hitman Hoops reporting about ours.
Well, no. I mean,
everybody knew what ours was. Well, they'd be fine.
Well,
you know what I'm saying? We're continuing to monitor.
Well, look,
Hitman on this one.
The first one, I came back. I said I was sorry. I had to go smoke a cigarette. I came back. I said I'm sorry.
Well, you don't smoke.
And then the second one, you know, it was just you know, Colin Cowherd or whoever the hell it is at 11. You know, there's like where Jason and John, and then mm-hmm. we just kind of left that for the people to speculate.
Well, hopefully, it's going to be along those lines where it's just a little blip in the radar.
They're better together. And I suspect that they will figure this out. But I need you to continue to monitor three things. Nolan.
Well, Hitman's got it for you.
Rick's return.
He's looks like he ahead.
Tony Harvey.
All y'all.
Yeah, he's killing us. Tony Harvey. You know, the Serbian player that they might be trying to give a bag to, who I would say, this is just my PSA. Like, don't bother with it. I don't care. This dude is Nikola Jokic. He ain't going to be that here. Mm. Y'all's international track record of developing those players is as long as mine. So
it's painful. It's painful.
Why even waste the spot? You wasting everybody's time. You know what I'm saying? Like, he going to come here, he going to leave after a year, and he ain't going to play. Like, as I explained to some people, this is a must-win year for Penny Hardaway. And y'all think this man is about to play a dude that can't even speak English? Like, y'all got to be out y'all's rabbit-ass mind. So why are we even wasting our time? You know what I'm saying? Like, unless he's that dude, which if he was, he would be going to Arizona or Gonzaga. He's clearly, one of those guys who could get developed in a year or two. We ain't on that type of time in Memphis, all right? We in the here and now. Once we get Rick, once Rick starts returning Penny's text, we will get that right back on track, and we'll be ready to go. But just like I said, right now, for you, we're in a holding pattern. And, you know, just check back with us in about a week or so, and we'll give you that update.
Will do.
Saturday at the Liberty Bowl, Memphis hosts North Alabama in a showdown on ESPN+ at 6 p.m. Central Time. The announced crowd for the Liberty Bowl game, Memphis, North Alabama, 25,000.
Over. Under.
Now, to me, the bigger question is Rick going to be a part of the 25,000? Because we're getting over that. That's over. We're getting over 25. It is the most anticipated season in Memphis football history. And we can't get 25,000. If we can't get 25,000 as a community in that building for the most anticipated season opener in Memphis football history, then we don't deserve to be where we think we should be. That's how I'll leave it. So yeah, I'm saying over.
It'll be announced over there, whether it is or not.
Well, you're going to count?
You know. I mean, this was announced right over on.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, it'll be over. It'll be over. Definitely interested to see how it's going to go in terms of. Because, again, remember, you got a lot of new folks over there. Sure, you've retained some of your game day operations folks, but in terms of the front office, right, the administration now, it's got Tim Duncan's in there. You got all new people in there. And so, you know, what if, and God forbid, but it usually does, anything goes wrong, the water cuts off, all that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they've had issues at Simmons Bank before back in the day. You know, how are they going to handle that? Concession's going to be fine. They're going to run all smoothly. You hope you're not coming away from this game with the major headlines that, oh, it all went wrong, as opposed to, hey, you got a nice win, that you hope everything goes smoothly. So, and they've said it. I mean, they've got it laid out now in terms of parking and everything else. They basically say that your experience is not going to be affected that much. Mm-hmm. And you could look at it and see, you know, that possibly being true. If you look at the way things are set up now from over there, and I've been over there a lot from the Memphis Sports and Events Center, it looks like everything. There's a good possibility it does go smoothly. And so, yeah, man, I'm hopeful this is a good weekend for Memphis, and that you go well over the 25,000.
Yeah, I mean, I might go. I mean, I'm feeling kind of free. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just depends on the, you know, how my day goes up to that point.
It's the FCS thing for me.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a beat down.
But we've been here before. This is not, you're not going to fault Memphis for doing, you know.
I will say beat downs are kind of fun, though. Like, guaranteed beat downs, like, to witness that, it is fun.
Sure.
It's like, now, it's not dramatic. Like, you know, after the first half, like, this ain't about to be some kind of, you know.
But you're not going out for the opponent, the schedule. You're going out to see if this Memphis team is going to live up to your expectations.
For
That's
sure.
what you're going
in.
You're
sure.
going to get your first glimpse of.
Yeah, and like,
and
you know.
Is this going to be the top 10 offense we expect it to be? But more importantly, what's that defensive side going to look like coming out of the dark side, John, as you know?
Yeah, and you want to hear that, you know, siren, you know? That touchdown Tigers, a siren. You want to hear that a couple times, and you can get on about your day, right? I wouldn't say it's one of those games where you're sitting the whole thing. I mean, I don't know what the weather's going to look like. I do think there's, like, a small chance of rain. So, obviously, as we know, that's going to be a huge determining factor of attendance and that number. But, yeah, it looks like 45% chance of rain. So, you know, 89, that's not terrible. That's not, you know, plus if you have a little.
Yeah, 6 p.m., you know, you get the sun going down. It won't be as hot as it will be that next week.
What's going to be the highest attended game this year?
Maybe UAB.
Ugh.
Because by that time, it's senior day and you're rolling.
Right.
Is the hope.
No, that's it.
It's the last home game.
Yeah, for Seth.
Mm-hmm.
Go out there and see Seth.
Yep.
Hopefully,
pay your respects. It'll be. I mean, I would imagine relative. We're talking about 32,000. I would hope that you've done what we've hoped you're going to do.
Yeah.
You're still undefeated in the American. Hopefully. And you're trying to finish off a monster season on your way down to, you know, Tulane in 12 days after that one for a big one before the conference championship.
I just like
UAB's the best. I mean, that's going to be the biggest one.
I literally had no idea who the Tulane coach was until last night. His name is John Summerall. Like, I've never heard of
the quarterback they got, though, we've heard of, right? He came from somewhere. I thought that was pretty, the one that's.
He's from Oregon, but he's not winning the job. It's Mensa is who's there.
Okay.
They have him listed first on the depth chart. So it's like Ty Thornton or Ty Thompson or something. It's not him, though.
Okay.
Because I looked that up yesterday, too. I'm doing some digging here in the AAC.
They're still at, I looked, they're 7.5. UTSA's 8.5.
Right.
Memphis is 9.5.
Yes. And I saw UTSA's coach said they had some injuries. Like they're pretty banged up already. Charlotte's coach is saying that they got 50% of their starters.
Yeah, their team's down. That's changed the line, I think.
Yeah, it has. It was 6 yesterday. Yeah. Now it's 9.5 against James Madison. So I don't know. I mean, it feels like Memphis is pretty healthy. You know.
Yeah. Except for the safety,
which, you know, could matter, might not. Don't know. But you have a pretty clean bill of health relative to everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, give me the over on that one. I mean, I think, you know, that's probably what I'll just be focused on is can Memphis get over the 61.5-point total? You know, we'll go from there. But I definitely think in terms of the crowd, yeah, we'll get over 25. I don't know how many it seats exactly. What is it, 30?
I think it's 32.
Okay. Yeah, I mean,
it's between 32 and 30.
I bet they'll announce 30 on you. I bet they will. They'll sell 30,000 tickets.
Yeah, announce 28.
Mm-hmm. Something okay. like that.
All right. That will be over for both of y'all. People on auto draft tonight for the 2024 edition of the 92.9 FM ESPN Fantasy League for the National Football League, which will take place online through the ESPN link.
COVID.
Because we want to have protocol. We've still got glass.
We do.
We don't like
it's back.
Out.
And there's also mpox going around.
Yeah, you have that. There are mosquito issues.
There's a lot.
There's a lot of stuff to deal with. So we're going to be comfortable now. Number of people auto-drafting on the slate of 10, 1.5.
Over. Under.
So we have 10 now, as you say, because we lost a couple.
Yeah, who did we lose?
Giannato.
And he was a guy that would let it auto-draft because he'd have such a busy life.
Right. He would have definitely helped get this number over.
He's a good parent. He's got three of them.
Well, absolutely. We understand.
Three is a different frontier.
Yeah, he's blocking and tackling. It's zone defense.
He is. That's what Jason is doing for Kamala.
Whatever I have to.
But Oprah's going to interview you. She's getting in front of media. Don't give her it.
But so what happens is we had 9 firm. Right?
Yep.
So then you have a choice. You can either add 1 or you have to add 3.
Mm-hmm.
It's 10 or 12, right?
Yeah.
So just knowing how hard this league is to put together every single year, there was no way we were getting to 12. I mean, we could have asked some neighbors and stuff like that.
We could have gotten some listeners or done a contest, but 10's fine.
At this point, I'm like, I'd rather have like a decent team.
Let's be solid.
Than have to reach on like some bums, on the third string running back.
Right. Let's make it 10 solid.
So it goes from 12 to 10, numbers 1.5. I think there's a decent chance Dan's going to forget.
Dan Williams, former Raider?
I think there's a decent chance he will forget what time the draft is.
Okay.
And then, what time is it?
8 o'clock.
8, I think.
Oh, 8 o'clock. Okay, so it's a little late. I think the number will be over. Like, Mills will forget. Yeah, like, I think we'll be over 1.5.
John Mills in the house for this. So we got John, Dan, the three of us. There's 5. You've got Ben Hogan, Bennett. There's 7.
What did Gabe do last year?
Gabe,
he's not an auto-drafter.
Connor, 9.
I think he was there. I think he showed up.
But who's our 10th?
Dan Williams. I think Connor. You got Connor in there?
Connor in there.
Jess. Gabe.
Jessica Benson's
the
10th.
Yeah, she'll show up. But she might not.
No, she's all in. She gives 100%.
She might be at the Orpheum.
Yeah, that's right. She might
What's going on tonight?
I'm just saying they have season tickets.
Dear Evan.
You never know.
Blue Man Group. You just never know.
No, she's locked in. She'll be on. I'm confident.
I think we're going to hit the over.
Oh, it's over. Yeah. There's always more than you think there will be.
Yeah.
And more than there should be.
Now, we bullied Brad. We bullied Brad into not doing the auto draft.
Yeah. And I feel bad about it.
A couple of those years.
We did.
Now, I've locked in since then. I've tried to pay a little closer attention.
Now, who the heck did the picks last night? Why do I have 10 of 10?
Are you 10th?
Yes.
Well, you'll get 2 back-to-back picks like ahead of some of these folks, right?
Yeah, but I'm not getting my choice. You could argue I get 2 of the top 11 players.
You get a back-to-back strategist move. Some would argue
I'm looking at A.J. Brown, Saquon, Garrett Wilson, Puka, as opposed to McCaffrey, CeeDee, Breece, Bijan, Tyreek. I don't have my choice of the best of the best. And it is critical that I strike that I hit 10 and 11 on the dot because I'm not coming back around until because of the swim. I won't draft again until late. So there's a ton of pressure to get the first 2 right. I hate that I'm choosing between freaking Jonathan Taylor, AJ Brown, Saquon, my first pick.
Seems like a lot of excuses, Jason.
That's not exciting. That's not exciting.
Seems like a lot of excuses.
I would have liked to have seen the way the draft order was determined.
If he underachieves, he's going to say, I would have liked to have seen
the way it was determined. Again,
listen,
Ben Hogan, I question how I come in last. Feels like every year.
I'm not going to make any excuses for my fantasy football team.
I'm picking 6th, I think. So
That's worse than 10th.
I don't know who that
is. That is worse than 10th.
Who do I end up with if I have 6th?
You're going to get Jamar.
Yep.
Okay.
Or your man who you had last year, I believe, Amon Ross St. Brown.
Oh, okay.
That's a nice pick.
He's in that range, too.
I like Amon Ross.
Justin Jefferson will be there. So Tyreek will be in 5th, 6th.
Pacheco?
Those are your guys in there.
Pacheco? Hell no.
No, too early for him, huh?
Yeah, I mean.
No, you should definitely take him first.
Yeah, you take Pacheco. You take him, man.
Always good for one of those.
I like it.
Remember, poker's a hard game.
No, in his defense, Pacheco's pretty high. He's top 16.
No, I get that. I mean, but I think that's too high, though, still for him because he doesn't catch passes.
You going to go for Saquon in that 6th spot?
No, I can't. I can't go for
Saquon. He's going lower than that in most drafts. His average
Breece Hall?
His average draft.
Breece Hall is high on the list of consideration for sure.
Maybe CeeDee.
CD for sure.
CD, I mean, will CD, not be there.
CD,
at
CD will
six,
go higher.
Guys.
Yeah, CD might go top two, right?
Yes.
So that's one of those weird years where he will go because there's nothing else on that offense. Like, what else is there?
CD's even? Average draft position is 2.4.
So okay, is somebody in the top three? It's Christian, Tyreek, or CD.
Yeah, probably.
That's those probably, are the three.
That, I mean, yeah, I mean, right.
The top five, according to ESPN, are McCaffrey, Lamb, Hall, Bijan, Tyreek Hill.
Oh, yeah. Bijan.
Bijan.
Don't Bijan's forget about Bijan in that offense.
Yeah, that's how the ESPN's loaded. Got him up there, too.
That's why I like a 10-10 league, though, because like you could have a good team, bro. Like you could.
I agree. It gets thin with 12.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right.
Which I enjoy. Anyway, we'll take the over on the 1.5.
Okay. Let's go to the college football scene. Of course, we've got Brett McMurphy next. Very excited about Brett coming on the radio show. Bets that you'll make on the Colorado Buffaloes this season.
Mm.
Total bets. Number of bets, 2.5.
Over. Under.
This must be for you.
This is for you. This is not for me. Because you are the Colorado Buffalo man.
The Buffs.
You are Buffalo Bill.
You're monitoring this as closely as Hitman's monitoring Stansberry Penny.
I need to know. I need to know how in on these Buffaloes you are. This year.
No, you're going to use every opportunity you get on this platform to root against Deion.
Well,
that's just the facts.
That's right.
Again, we know what it goes back to.
Oh, what does it go back to?
Him telling the white boy get out of here.
Yep.
The little curly-headed white.
He was
the way he cleared out that team.
You can't do that.
He got offended by that.
Something about it.
Yeah. You can't do that.
Something about it resonated with John.
John
and
got
hurt
pissy
him.
About that.
Yes. Yeah. Remember, he said he bringing his Louis and all that, the luggage. John didn't like that.
Yes.
I hated that.
He had a visceral reaction to that.
Right.
I hated every minute of it.
And so he continues to root against him. And listen, I don't think Deion's a good bet this year. I'm not going to sit up here and blow smoke.
Okay.
Yeah. I keep it real. I told you it was a hard. He was taking on a job that probably wasn't going to get him where he needs to go. But the man was.
Yeah.
Too hot to trot to get out of Jackson State and turn and show everybody and prove to everybody I can win at that level. Now you're in a spot, man, where there's a good possibility you can't win.
Right.
Not at the level, again, that's going to get you the next job, whether it's Florida State or whoever. And so that's why I tell you he was better off staying at Jackson State. They're in for a tough year. And more importantly, you got everybody's watching now, whether it's the columnist, whether it's John Martin, more so the nation's watching, and you fail. And Phelan's going to be not making a bowl, you know, never getting to the top of this conference, which is a good chance you're going to do. You know, you ruin your chances at doing it at a higher level, it feels like to me. So I question some of the steps he's taken.
Yeah, I played the under on the first game. I did do that.
Yeah, so you're already at one. Told you you'd make some Colorado bets.
Yeah, I mean,
you'll make more than me.
It's a standalone game.
I will watch Shador.
So
I will watch Shador to see if he gets his son killed this year. A guy who's really got some NFL, you know, an NFL future. You're going to get him killed this year behind this,
yep.
This line, these lines that you know that you haven't been able to put together yet.
Right.
Like, I'll be watching that, and obviously, Travis is one of the best players in college football.
Yeah.
So they're what, but I'm not. I have no belief or confidence in Colorado. Like, just being bowl eligible would be successful. Now remember, he did take over a 1-win program.
Right.
You get to what, 4 last year?
Yep.
I mean, it's a 3-game improvement. I don't think that's going to go much higher than where it is.
Yeah.
I hope I'm not rooting against the man.
I was kind of tempted to lay the 9 with Colorado, I'll be honest, but you know, I'm not sure. I think I'm way more comfortable with the under in that one. You know, just in case, you know, there's a backdoor situation. I just feel like North Dakota State's way too banged up. I think they're probably going to try to take the air out of the ball a little bit and you know, keep the ball on the ground. And I'll be interested to see, you know, how much better Colorado will be, you know, defensively this season because they were not last year. So I'll be interested in watching that. But I think 61 is it's a touch too high. Touch too high for these two teams right now. And so, I've got the under on this game. Under 61. All right, we'll come back. Brett McMurphy going to join us on the other side. We will talk to him about college football, Colorado, Memphis, Group of 5, playoff, all that and more. Stick around. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN.
You've heard us talk a lot about FanDuel. They're America's number one sports book, and they've got something, a nice little bonus for you now through September 22nd. All FanDuel customers, not just new ones, all FanDuel customers can bet $5, get a 3-week free trial of NFL Sunday Ticket if you don't have it from YouTube and YouTube TV. Again, just bet $5 and get a 3-week free trial of NFL Sunday Ticket. Then with a YouTube TV base plan, you'll be able to watch every regular season Sunday afternoon out-of-market game. All you need is a Google account and a current form of payment, and you can cancel anytime. Just visit FanDuel.com/JSmith to download America's number one sportsbook. That's FanDuel.com/JSMITH. It's only on FanDuel Sportsbook, official partner of 929FM ESPN. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Full price of NFL Sunday Ticket will be automatically charged seasonally after free trial. No refunds. Terms, restrictions, and embargoes apply. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, back to the Jason and John Show, live from the Leaders Credit Union Studios. Let Leaders Credit Union champion your financial story at leaderscu.com/ESPN. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Brad McMurphy covers college football for the Action Network. We are officially in the midst of college football season. Week zero is done. Week one is not. He joins us now. Brett, how we doing?
Good. Finally got some games going. We can stop talking about lawsuits and all that nonsense. At least I will. And I have some games on the field. Looking forward to it.
So I guess before we get into the games themselves, I would ask you from a big picture standpoint, from a handicapping standpoint, if you were putting odds on it, the odds that this particular season with the new expanded playoff will be a smashing success are what? Are they -1,000, -2,000? I mean, are we going to be talking about, you know, one of the most intriguing, interesting college football seasons ever this year?
Yeah, I think the odds are almost as good as this being one of the most intriguing seasons. The same odds as Colorado winning the national championship. That's a joke because everybody loves to bet on Colorado to win the national championship.
Apparently so.
Moths to a flame, Brett.
No, it's Yeah, it's minus a billion. Yeah, it's going to be crazy. You're going to get, you know, I will say this. It's going to be crazy because we're going to get into late October, early November, and there literally could be 30 teams with a legitimate possibility to get to the college football playoff. However, when we get to first week of January, mid-January, it's probably going to be the same usual suspects that are in the Final Four. But, hey, at least we had some newcomers along the way. But, no, it's going to be great from the, you know, the power leagues with the at-large teams. You know, Florida State last year would have been given up for dead. They kind of look like they were given up for dead in Ireland. But, you know, mathematically, they're still alive. And, you know, obviously the non-power leagues, you know, you win your league and you got a one in five chance or better, depending on what league you're in, to get to the playoffs. So, no, that's going to be cool. And I also think that I think TV ratings will be insane this year because, you know, college football is kind of, you know, morphed into a national sport. But I think more than ever this year, you're going to have, you know, you're going to have fans of the American tuning in to some Mountain West games to perhaps root against Boise State or root for UNLV or whoever it is, because it may help Memphis's chances or it may help, you know, a Sunbelt team that they like. So you're going to have, you know, you're going to be tuning into these MAC games on Tuesday nights to root against the conference favorite so they can suffer a loss and shuffle down the selection committee rankings. So, yeah, I think it's going to be really, really cool and you know, the best thing is nobody knows exactly what's going to happen. So that, I think that adds to the intrigue also.
Well, we certainly, I mean, you touched on it. We've got the extra layer of excitement around here because obviously winning the AAC, as you mentioned, would put Memphis in a position where maybe you're representing the group of five in the college football playoff. I mean, there is legit buzz around here in Memphis, obviously, because, I mean, they've, you know, you look at experts, they're picking Memphis, and you're one of them in terms of if you're looking at Memphis or you're looking at a Mountain West champion in Boise State. We know they've got a big one against Oregon. You know, that Memphis was hoping, hey, we've got an equivalent game against Florida State. Not, you can't really say that now. But if you throw in a Liberty, who would you give, Brett, the best chances of being, you know, right now looking at their schedules, the best chance of being that group of five representative?
Well, obviously, you've got to win. So I think this, you know, everyone makes a lot about the schedule. But bottom line is you got to win. Look, Liberty plays, you know, 12 tomato cans. And I want to apologize because I just insulted tomato cans. But they literally, you know, we could grab 7-8 other guys and we could put together a stronger starting lineup than anything Liberty's going to face with the exception of App State. I think this isn't fair, but it's human nature. I think the committee's going to hold against Liberty what happened last year in the Fiesta Bowl where they got just trounced. And so if they run out a 12-0 season, there's no strength of schedule there. Mm-hmm. So I think, not that they're going to be dismissed, but I think another group five champ with potentially two losses could get in over Liberty. I know a lot of people are high on Boise. I understand why. I actually don't think Boise is going to get to the playoff. And the reason is, you mentioned their strength of schedule. I think it's too hard. That may sound weird, but they play. They're at Oregon. That's a loss. Yep. They also have Washington State and Oregon State.
Right.
Now, if they can win both of those games, and they can, and then they lose one in the Mountain West, and they're 10-2 with two wins against Washington State and Oregon State, I think they've got a good shot.
I agree.
However, they have five non-conference games. They only have seven conference games. So if they lose to somebody in the Mountain West, you only have six games remaining to overcome the head-to-head,
right,
you know, tiebreaker. So they could actually lose a game and miss out on getting to the Mountain West playoff. As far as Memphis and Florida State, it's Florida State lost, big deal. If Memphis beats Florida State, it's still a win against an ACC team. Mm-hmm. It's obviously it's on the road. I wouldn't discount that. Obviously, you need Florida State to win as many games as possible to make that, you know, as strong a win as you can. But I wouldn't put much into the fact that that Florida State lost. I don't think it's like, well, you know, Memphis's playoff hopes are dead because Florida State lost to Georgia Tech. Now, if Florida State goes 5-7, that's another thing. But Florida State, you know, they're going to end up 7, well, not 7. They'll end up 8-9 wins probably. And if Memphis can beat an ACC team with 8 or 9 wins, that's certainly going to be one of the strongest non-conference wins, I would think, of any of the G5 contenders.
Brett, I would just ask you, in this, you know, in this playoff expanded world, you know, we know how increasingly rare it is for teams like Memphis to get games like teams against Florida State. But that being said. In this new world where it's just winning, I mean, yeah, like if you're really, you know, in a dead heat against somebody, strength of schedule may matter. But what's more valuable if you're a school like Memphis in 2024, getting a game against Florida State or preserving your chance to be undefeated because you play in a poor league and replacing a Florida State with a Grand Valley State?
I mean, that's a really good question. And you know, I don't sit on the fence and not give you an answer, but I honestly can't answer that because nobody knows the answer to that, because that's based on the opinions of the 13 people on the selection committee. And last year they thought, you know, undefeated Liberty was better than a 2-loss SMU team with a much stronger strength of schedule component. I talked to somebody that was on the committee last year, and I asked them specifically, I asked him, one, about Florida State being left out, and I asked him, two, about Liberty getting picked over SMU. And this person told me, Brett, we actually debated more about Liberty and SMU than we did whether Florida State should have been in the top four or not. And I said, well, regarding the Liberty-SMU argument, I go, you guys effed it up. And he said, hey, dude, I only had one vote. You know, don't blame me. So, you know, how does this year's committee look at undefeated team with playing, you know, 90% of their games against teams that are among the worst 30 in the country versus other, you know, G5 teams that will play, you know, 75% of their games against teams in the top 80, you know, ranked teams in the country? We don't know. I mean, we can sit here and say what they should do, but we don't know. So it's impossible to say, you know, well, it's better to go undefeated, or no, it's better to play a Power Five and take your chances with those. The hope is that the strength of schedule is going to matter more. I mean, certainly at the Power Five level, that's what they believe. That I think, and people have said this, I agree that a 3-loss Power Five team will get in a large bid. I believe that because I don't think there's going to be an undefeated team at the end of the year other than Liberty. And, you know, there's going to be several teams with multiple losses that'll be available for the at large. We'll see if the committee values strength of schedule for the group of five the same. It's weird. I think in the past they've looked at them differently. I don't know why, but they have. And then also I think, you know, real quickly, the strength of your league matters too. You know, if the American has 5 or 6 teams that are solid teams that are, you know, in the top 40 in the country, then obviously that makes Memphis's, you know, resume look a lot better. Well, if Memphis runs roughshod through the AAC and, you know, the rest of the ACC smells like bad fish, then, you know, that's obviously going to knock them down a notch. So, you know, it's kind of an imperfect science. I mean, it's a great question. The problem is there's no way of knowing, because we don't know how these 13 individuals are going to vote, and it's going to be different than the selection committees we've had each of the last 10 years, because it's a different group of people.
Chances, last thing on that group of five, how optimistic are you that spot will remain there? So long as Memphis is there, so long as Tulane is there, the Boise States, the ones that have not been called up to the Power Four, you're always going to want that seat at the table, and you're always going to hope that the big boys allow you to have it. Are you optimistic that there will, you know, my partner and I were talking about this yesterday, are the big dogs one of these days going to push you out and say, we don't need you, we want another spot for us? Are you pretty confident they're going to keep a spot like this for, you know, for the, I hate to say little guy, but frankly, it is.
No, you're right. Yeah. So as long as it's in the current format where the where all of the conferences are included, then the non-power leagues, the group of five, will always have an automatic bid to the playoff. Because if they don't, you know, you thought the House settlement lawsuit was significant. Well, you know, then you'd have a you know what storm of lawsuits come down the pike if they suddenly said, okay, Group Five champ, you're no longer in the playoff. That will never happen. But you know, a but was coming. Yes. But we could get to a point, not anytime soon, but somewhere down the road where the SEC and the Big Ten decide, you know what, we're just going to do our own little playoff.
Yep.
And we're going to group, you know, by then the SEC and Big Ten will be up to 20 members or 24 members. And they'll decide, you know what, we're going to do our playoffs. And, you know, only the teams in our leagues can do the playoffs. Then, yeah, absolutely, at that point, you know, the group of five would not be involved. Heck, the ACC, if there is an ACC, would not be involved. The Big 12 probably would be on the outside also. If we ever got to that, and that's obviously a real radical opinion, but it's possible. We never know how this is going to end up.
Sure.
If that happens, then yeah, the group flies on the outside. But as long as the college football playoff continues and it's including all of the conferences, even though the odds of the non-power league getting in are a lot smaller than the power leagues, then yes, they will always do that. And that's why they specifically did the five highest ranked conference champs, because that guarantees somebody from a non-power league getting into the playoff.
Talking to Brett McMurphy, covers college football for the Action Network. One of the best games, obviously, of the week is number one ranked Georgia, sort of, basically, hosting Clemson. Georgia is a 13.5-point favorite. It feels like it wants to go to 14. I mean, we're right there on the precipice of this going to 14. And it just, I don't know, Brett, I don't know if Georgia will cover the number or not, but it just sort of makes me feel like, damn, man. I mean, this is a 14th-ranked Clemson team, and the gap is two touchdowns, essentially, between them and Georgia. Like, how did we get here with Clemson football?
So it's funny. I love the way you asked me that question. I'm being very. I'm not. I know I joke a lot, but I'm being serious because this is what Clemson has become. They won nine games last year, and the sky's falling. It was the worst season in 13 years. Nine wins. That's your worst season in 13 years. You got Tyler from Spartanburg calling Dabo's radio show, you know, asking Dabo what in the world's going wrong, you know, why are you making so much money, et cetera, et cetera. What's funny is last year, Clemson probably should have won 12 games. The four games they lost, they outgained their opponents in three of those games. You know, look, you got to score more points, but more often than not, you gain more yards than your opponent, you win the game. They had a bunch of miscues in the red zone, missed field goals, turnovers that cost them three of those four games. So that technically they probably should have, could have won 10, 11, 12. Bottom line, they didn't. And then you add in the polarizing factor that Dabo will not admit there is a transfer portal. So, you're right. Here we are. We've got a top 15 ranked team, and they're two touchdown underdog to Georgia. I don't think it gets up to 14 points because I think Georgia will announce some suspensions before kickoff. ETN at running back is probably not playing. There may be a couple other guys. But I think this is Dabo, the master of motivation. He's going to be playing this up. Nobody's given us a chance, all that stuff. And also the fact that he doesn't bring anybody in from the transfer portal, he kind of sends a message to his team that I think, you know, we'll see if it works out. But ultimately, kind of like a belief in his team, like, look, I don't need to bring anybody from the outside because I got everybody I need right here. That sounds great. We'll see if that translates back into getting back to the college football playoff. But, yeah, it is funny. People are wondering what in the world's gone wrong with Clemson, when all they did was win nine games last year, But that's how it is at every program. Once you hit that high level, if you don't reach that high level, college football playoff, winning a national championship, then, yeah, it's a disappointment. But that's where we are with Clemson. But certainly we're going to find out right off the bat if Clemson's going to be a legit contender, not only in the ACC but nationally. But, yeah, I think Georgia's ultimately too strong. I think Georgia will eventually wear them down and like, yeah, kind of what you mentioned, a quasi-home game there in Atlanta.
Real quick, I mean, it's not remotely the same level, but we're at a point now with Memphis football where if they go 9-3 this year and they don't win the American, and Ryan Silverfield has never won the American, they've been picked for the first time ever to win it, you know, it's going to be disappointment around here on 9 wins, whereas back in the day, you know, people are jumping for joy.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.